So again, fats are essential for our health. We have two particular fatty acids that if we don't consume within our diet, then we wouldn't be able to survive. And that's linoleic acid and alpha-linolenic acid. Without being too technical, linoleic acid is for the N6 series, and alpha-linolenic acid is the N3 series, or the omega-3 series. So we need to consume those, and they are precursors to other longer-chain fatty acids. So fat is essential, a certain amount of fat, otherwise we wouldn't be able to function physiologically. Some types of fats are worse than others, and we believe are associated with different types of conditions. So for example, saturated fats found generally in animal products, but also when we process liquid oils, vegetable oils, we get hydrogenated fat and produces saturated fats. And the reason that we did this was because in the particularly 70s, 80s, believed that animal fats, saturated fats, are detrimental to our health and increase risk of coronary heart disease. So therefore, and so instead of having butter, which is a very rich source of saturated fats, what the industry did was used oils from plants and they hydrogenated them. In other words, they took away some of the double bonds and made them saturated, which means they've got no double bonds. They pack very closely together and therefore they make them solid. So to make a liquid oil solid, you have to hydrogenate it, taking away these double bonds that are found in monounsaturated fatty acids and polyunsaturated fatty acids. Monounsaturated means they've got one double bond. Polyunsaturated fats means they've got poly, more double bonds. And these are liquid at room temperature. So hydrogenating liquid oils to make spreads was one of the reasons why that happened. And it does produce more detrimental fats like trans fatty acids, which you've probably heard of. And trans fatty acids were produced as a byproduct of this process. They were present in the spreads around in the 70s, 80s. And 90s, but now they're actually excluded from the food chain because we realise how detrimental trans fatty acids are to cardiovascular disease risk. And so the industry have responded to that very positively and actually removed them from the food chain. So in the UK, our spreads do not contain trans fats now. However, in some foods in other countries like in China and India, unfortunately, these trans fats have not been removed from their food chain. So there's still this worry about the implications of trans fats in those populations. So there are a number of different types of fats. And as I said, trans fats particularly, and also saturated fats, have been associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So in relation to improving health, the government recommendations are to reduce trans and saturated fats. However, the total fats, there has been a change, I think, of scientific opinion about whether they're good or bad in total. So I'm sure you remember in the 70s, 80s, it was always a low-fat diet. We must reduce our fat in our diet, and that was the recommendation. Now there's changing slightly where we don't think necessarily the total fat is as important as the type or the quality of fat. So now if you think about Mediterranean diets that are thought to be very health-giving, they have actually quite high fat in their diet, but it's mainly from things like olive oil that are unsaturated fats. So I think we're moving towards diets that have not high fat, but moderate fat, not restricted in their fat, moderate levels of fat, as long as they're from an unsaturated fat source rather than the trans or saturated fats. Okay, so I think you mentioned whether oils are fats. So I think fats and oils are similar macronutrients, a similar type of food. There's ways in which you can categorise them. One way is where they're actually, whether they're from animal sources or plant sources. So in that way, you've obviously got products like corn oil, sunflower oil, and coconut oil. They're all vegetable sources of oil. And then you have animal sources of fats. We also chemically look at them and see what type of fatty acids they contain. So you've got the vegetable oils usually have higher amounts of these unsaturated fats, which are associated with beneficial impacts on health. So for example, corn oil has higher amounts of N6 polyunsaturated fats, things like linoleic acid. Rapeseed oil has higher amounts of monounsaturated fatty acids like oleic acid, Olive oil has high amounts of oleic acid. The other vegetable oil, which is quite unusual, are those of coconut oil and palm oil, because both of those are plant-based, but they are unusual for plant-based oils because they have a lot of saturated fats. And so in fact, if you look at coconut oil, when you get it in the shop, it's solid, it's saturated. Ooh. So it's a solid product. So it's a bit like butter at room temperature, it's solid. And that shows, because saturated fats are solid at room temperature, it's got a lot of saturated fats in it. Oils, for example, like olive oil, it's liquid at room temperature, but if you've ever put olive oil in the fridge, I don't know if you have, it goes into a bit of a sludge. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's monounsaturated fat, which is one double bond, and they pack a little bit closer together than polyunsaturated fats. And again, at sort of fridge temperature can become a little bit of a semi-solid. So coconut oil and palm oil have got high amounts of saturated fat, and therefore may be associated with the detrimental effects of saturated fat. But saturated fat isn't all the same. There's lots of different fatty acids that are saturated. And for example, there's saturated fats called palmitic acid, that has stearic acid, and these are found in animal products, and they are found to have detrimental effects on our lipids, for example, particularly palmitic acid. And that's quite high in things like palm oil. For coconut oil, there is again a very confusing picture at the moment. It has got the most saturated fat of any oil, including butter. But some of those are in the form of what we call medium chain triglycerides, shorter chain fatty acids. And if you look at medium chain triglycerides on their own, they are metabolized differently from other fats, other saturated fats. They don't need to be digested in the same way. They can be absorbed quicker. They can be utilized quicker. And they're actually used in the clinical setting for people that may have problems with their gastrointestinal tract and can't digest fats. So they are used differently in our body. And there are a lot of studies that looked at medium chain triglycerides and shown that they are preferentially metabolized and therefore are used quicker than other saturated fats. However, just because coconut oil contains quite a lot of these doesn't necessarily mean that that food source will have the same effect as the isolated fatty acids, because it also contains other types of saturated fats. So people extrapolate some studies that just use medium chain triglycerides and say, well, coconut oil must be good because it contains a lot of these. Whereas some of the fatty acids that coconut contains, such as lauric acid, actually is the fatty acid that leads to the greatest increase in LDL cholesterol. So again, there is a mixed picture, and it's not as easy as it sounds first off. So these are the fats that we consume in our diet, and they have an effect on fats within our body and our blood circulating round. And so you asked me about the good and bad cholesterol. So we consume cholesterol in foods, but we also have cholesterol in our blood. And we have cholesterol that's commonly known as the bad cholesterol, which is low density lipoprotein, or LDL cholesterol. And that particular type of cholesterol has been known to be laid down in the arteries, producing these fatty streaks, atherosclerotic plaques we call them. And these will slowly build up in the arteries, occluding the passage of blood through the artery. That is atherosclerosis, as we know it, and is important for the development of coronary heart disease or strokes, depending on which vessel it's in. However, to have an ischemic attack or a heart attack or a stroke, you actually need a complete occlusion, complete blockage of the arteries. And for this, you need a thrombus or a clot. So the fat builds up, you then get breakage of that, you get the platelets or the blood cells coming towards to try and heal that damaged area of the vessel. But in doing so, produce a very big clot that's too big for what it's required and completely block the artery, and then you get your heart attack. So that's the bad cholesterol, the LDL cholesterol. The good cholesterol is high density lipoprotein, or HDL cholesterol. And these particles actually are involved with what's called reverse cholesterol transport. And this transports cholesterol from tissue back to the liver. So it can actually take some cholesterol from the atherosclerotic plaque back to the liver for metabolism. So it's actually very beneficial. So if you have high levels of HDL and low levels of LDL, then you have a good lipid profile. If you have them the other way around, high LDL and low HDL, then that's obviously detrimental to our health. There's also other fats that are called triglycerides or triacylglycerol, and these are the fats we consume in our food. So if you had a fatty food, it would contain triacylglycerol. They are digested when we pass through the gut into the glycerol backbone, and there's three fatty acids, triacylglycerol. Two of the fatty acids are removed, making a monoglyceride. That's absorbed, and then they're reconstructed into triglycerides and transported around in the blood in these particles that allow them to be circulated around. And they've found that very high levels of triacylglycerol are associated with increased cardiovascular risk, and they're now known as an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease. So it's not just the cholesterol, it's also the triacylglycerol. And interestingly, those that have diabetes or metabolic syndrome, or pre-diabetic syndrome, and also women have higher amounts of triacylglycerol, and high levels of triacylglycerol in these groups are an important risk factor for cardiovascular disease, and are more have been shown to be associated with greater risk in women than in men, where cholesterol obviously often is a driver of risk. Often we refer to body shapes as apple and pear shaped, and this is associated with the distribution of fat within our body. So for example, an apple shape is also known as an android shape. And this is typical of a male shape. So you often think of men having more central fat around the midriff rather than around the hip region that the women do. So an apple or an android shape is a male pattern, obesity. Whereas a pear shape, also known as gynoid shape, is one typical of a woman. So you have perhaps more fat associated with your hips than necessarily your waist, although it doesn't always go like this. Some women do have an android shape. And as women go through the menopause and postmenopausally, we do actually change our shape. So we become less gynoid and more android, and this is because of the hormone balance that we have after we go through the menopause. And we might wonder what the consequence of this is, and it has been associated with risk. So those that have the android shape or the fat around the midriff region, this also involves fat within the body cavity. And this is, it surrounds the organs within the body cavity here. So this is called visceral fat. And this fat has been associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease. It's more metabolically active and can release certain fatty acids into the circulation that have detrimental impact on our risk. So those that have an android shape have a higher risk compared with those that have a gynoid shape. And in fact, there has been some work done on those that have higher amounts of hip fat, they're actually associated with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. It might not be a direct link, but there are some associations with that.